Come to order. Members may indicate their presence by voting.
The roll shows 18 present. Senator Rader's excused.
Senator Ferguson. Served by the chaplain, Father Bill Sorrell.
Let us pray. Lord God, on this May Day, grant us thankful hearts for the opportunity to be awake to truth, to be alert and responsive to human needs, to be innovators of creative change, to be celebrants of life, and to be the persons you designed us to be. Amen.
Certification of the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 101st legislative day in Senate Supplement Number 14.
Senator Cotillo.
President,
move
and ask unanimous consent
to the journal.
The approval is read.
Senator Cotillo moves and asks unanimous consent for the certification of the journal. Without objection, the journal is certified. Introduction of guests. Messages from the governor.
We have no messages from the governor today.
Messages from the House.
Message of May 1, the House has passed Senate Concurrent Resolution 18, Training in Non-Aggressive Self-Defense in Secondary Schools. This has been sent for enrollment. The House has concurred in the Senate amendment to House Bill 164, amended consideration of vetoed bills, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for House Bill 164, amended in the Senate. This has gone for enrollment. The House has concurred in the Senate amendment to House Bill 76, making a special appropriation for international airports, thus adopting Senate committee sub for House Bill 76. This has gone for enrollment. The House has concurred in the Senate amendment to committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 11, amending the Constitution of the State of Alaska to provide for consideration of vetoed bills, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 11. This has gone for enrollment. The House has passed Senate Bill 261 amended, evidence and prosecutions for rape and assault with intent to commit rape, changing Rule 43G11, Rules of Civil Procedure, with the following amendment, House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 261 amended by the House.
Senator Cotillo.
Mr. President, I move the action. This will be postponed to tomorrow.
Cotillo moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate action on the House amendments to Senate Bill 261 be held until tomorrow. Without objection, that action will be held until tomorrow. Further messages from the House.
The House has passed Senate Bill 290, Rent Regulation and Control in Emergency Situations, with the following amendment, House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 290, and it is transmitted herewith.
Senator Miller.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendment. Mr. President, it's my intention to ask the body to vote no. Not so much that there is an area of dispute between the House and the Senate on rent control measures, there is not. As many members of you will be aware of, the Commissioner of Commerce recently promulgated regulations for the Institution of Rent Control in Anchorage, Corrections, Fairbanks, and Valdez. And we find Senate Bill 290 will probably need some amendments to accommodate the particular approach that the Department has adopted. It's felt that, because they're just now in the process of drawing up regulations for that, this matter is probably best reviewed by the conference committee, so we can make certain that plan with the Department instituted and the bill permitting that plan is determined. So I would ask that the Senate vote on it.
Senator Miller moves that the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 290. Is there further discussion? You ready to vote? The question is, shall the Senate concur? As many as favor, say aye. As many as opposed, no.
No. No.
The noes have it, and the Senate is concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 290. We'll send a message to the House asking them to receive the amendment. Further messages from the House.
The House has passed committee substitute for House Bill 173, Finance, by the Finance Committee, entitled an act providing for indemnification in the event of a decrease in property values within the city and borough of Juneau resulting from enactment of the Capital Relocation Initiative and providing for an effective date.
Aye, Nan.
House Bill 56 amended by Representatives H. Byrne and O.C. entitled An Act Relating to Public School Principals.
56.
Health Education Social Service.
Committee substitute for House Bill 171 Finance by the Finance Committee entitled An Act Relating to Creation of a Water and Electric Power Resources Revolving Loan Fund and Providing for an Effective Date.
Commerce, Finance.
I have no further messages from the House.
Communication.
I have a letter dated April 25 from the President of the United States. Dear Senator Croft, I am a strong believer in the federal system of shared sovereignty, which protects freedom of action and promotes creativity at all levels of government. This federal system was designed to enable all Americans to be served by that level of government closest to them and best able to act in the public interest. In 1972, we made an historic decision to support and advance our federal system with the passage of general revenue sharing. I am proud to be one of the bipartisan group of leaders and members of the House and Senate who worked together to pass revenue sharing. Since that time, I have had numerous meetings with state and local officials who have told me that their number one priority in federal programs was the continuation of general revenue sharing. In these discussions, I emphasized that I would be a strong advocate for reenactment for this essential program. Today, I sent to the Congress a message and a proposed bill which would continue general revenue sharing in substantially its present form for an additional 5 3/4 years. In addition, I am proposing that Congress continue to increase the amount by $150 million each year so that the total program over the full extended period will be $39.85 billion. I have asked the Domestic Council to provide you with a copy of my message to the Congress as well as the proposed bill. I am confident that you and the citizens you represent will benefit from this information and explanation of a program in which every American has a vital stake. Sincerely signed, Gerald R. Ford. We also have a message from the Chairman of the Special Committee on Taxation and Revenue. Dear Chancy, I am supplying a copy of Walter J. Meade's April 22nd and April 26th letters in which he analyzes SB 374 and HB 297. This analysis has never been presented to either body of the legislature before and does bear directly upon the oil and gas according to value taxation proposals which we have before us. I request that it be printed in the Senate Journal Supplement for the use of all concerned parties. Sincerely signed, John Huber. Those are all the communications.
Senator Cotulla.
I acknowledge the fact that these joint messages were put on by the President and by Senator Huber.
Reports of standing committees.
The Finance Committee has had Senate Bill 35 relating to public education in the unorganized borough under consideration, and the committee recommends it be replaced with a Health Education and Social Services Committee substitute. Report was signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, who had no recommendation. Senator Buttrovich had no recommendation. Senator Sackett and Holman and Poland signed do pass. Senator Chant signed do pass if amended. 35 has no further referrals.
Rules.
The Finance Committee has had Senate Bill 46 relating to teachers' retirement system under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee substitute. Report was signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Sackett, Holman, Chance, and Buttrovich. Senator Poland had no recommendation. 46 has no further referrals.
Rules.
I have no further standing committee reports.
Reports of special committees.
I have none.
Introduction of resolution.
I have no resolutions today.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 343 by Senator Croft entitled An Act Relating to Wildlife Photography.
Resources.
Senate Bill number 410 by Senator Croft entitled An Act Relating to the Licensing of Physicians and Providing for an Effective Date.
Health, Education, and Social Services.
I have no further bills for introduction.
Brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. We have before us in second reading Senate Bill 131.
Senate Bill number 131 by Senators Bradley, Willis, Orsini, and Rohde, entitled An Act Relating to the Boards of Fisheries and Game and Providing for an Effective Date. The Resources Committee has had Senate Bill 131 under consideration, and the committee recommends it do pass with an amendment. The report was signed by Senator Poland, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Rohde, Huber, Orsini, Buttrovich, and Meehan. The Finance Committee considered this bill and reported it back without recommendation. The report was signed by Senator Ray, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Sackett, Chance, and Homan. Senator Rader signed do not pass. Senators Poland and Buttrovich signed do pass. The amendment by the Resources Committee has been distributed. It's to page 12, line 14.
Every member have a copy of the amendment. Senator Poland. Senator Poland moves the adoption of the Resources Committee amendment. You have the floor, Senator Poland.
These were just too small amendments. Instead of being forward, we felt that any decision as major as removal of the commissioner should be considered by both boards as well as the government, and that the final decision should rest with the government.
Senator Poland moves and asks unanimous consent for the adoption of the Resources Committee amendment. Is there objection? Without objection.
Amendment number 2 by Senator Sackett to page 1, line 28. Delete he may.
Cast
tie-breaking rule. Page 5, line 3. Delete the commissioner may countermand, etc. to end of sentence on line 6.
Senator Sackett.
Mr. President, I would move for adoption of amendment number 1. I'm sorry, they're both on separate amendments, but I'd like to put them on three separate amendments.
You asked for that it be divided, the question?
Right.
All right. Senator Sackett moves for the adoption of the first portion of amendment number 2, which relates to page 1, line 28, the deletion of line 28. Senator Sackett, you have the floor.
Mr. President, the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game have 7 members each appointed by the governor. And while that sometimes they might not have the total membership, I still feel that the commissioner has no business in making any decisions regarding regulations. He can recommend it, but I don't see him in any capacity having even a decision-making power. I have seen this in the past misused, where you'll have 6 members, and the commissioner will kind of indicate, or could indicate, you know, that depending on how you vote it, you might break it one way or the other. I really hesitate giving any commissioner that power, especially seeing how it has possible misuse.
Further discussion?
Mr. President.
Member Bradley.
I concur with those two amendments. I'm sorry we didn't do something about it before. They were considered, but nobody felt strong enough to make a change.
Do you ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the first portion of the amendment?
I ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Without objection, the first portion of amendment number 2 is adopted. Senator Sackett, do you want to move the second portion of your amendment?
Yes, Mr. President, I move for adoption of the second amendment, which is on page line 5, starting at page 5, line 3. The commissioner may countermand and make null and void any authority delegated or order issued under this section, but he shall advise the appropriate committee of this action as good reasons for overturning the advisory committee's action. This section gives power and authority to the advisory committees, Mr. President, to close by emergency order various areas. This is the present power that the advisory boards have, and about the only one that they can fight with the department against. For example, if the department opens up a moose season in a certain area and the local people feel that that area cannot possibly take the killing of any more moose, they can by emergency close it. Under this bill, the commissioner then can countermand what the local advisory group says, and I don't think that's right.
Senator Ray?
The only thing, Mr. President, I would have to say is that if they have a local advisory board that opts for an opening and the commissioner agrees to information says no, then I would think that perhaps the biologists and the people within the department could be the ones who would have maybe just as much information as the advisory board. I can understand the closure part, but on an opening, it would seem to me that the commission may countermand and may avoid any authority delegated or order issued under this section. And I know that there are other parts of the Fish and Game Code where it allows the advisory boards to make openings as well as closings. And that would be the only question I would have.
Senator Huber? Senator, second.
Mr. President, if either you put the power in a board that may or may not be any good, and unfortunately you look at the history of the Fish and Game Board for the past 10 years and they have not been good, and you look at the history of the advisory boards throughout the state, then in many cases they have requested time and time again that certain things be closed, and the Fish and Game Board has refused to do it. The Fish and Game Department has refused to do it. I would much prefer to put my trust in the local advisory board that knows something about the area than into a statewide board, regardless of whether it's for game or for fish, when they don't know anything about the area. I respect the comments made by Senator Ray when he does have some concern about the opening of seasons. And when I deleted this section, it was only with the idea that various advisory boards in the past only had the authority to close. And I would like to ask for an IDs.
Senator Stand to be.
Senator, come to order.
Senator Cotillo.
President, I move and ask the Senate Senate Bill 131 be placed upon the calendar.
Senator Cotillo moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 131 be placed at the bottom of the calendar without objection. Senate Bill 131 will appear at the bottom of today's calendar. We have before us House Concurrent Resolution 50.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 50 by Representative Miller congratulating Marjorie Schmiede. I have no amendments.
Is there discussion? Ready to vote. The question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution Number 50 pass the Senate? As many as favor say aye.
Aye.
As many as oppose no. The ayes have it, and House Concurrent Resolution Number 50 pass the Senate. We have before us in second reading House Concurrent Resolution Number 8.
House Joint Resolution Number 8 by Representative Davis relating to the construction of a seawall at Unalakleet. The State Affairs Committee has had this resolution under consideration and the committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Coletta, Meland, Miller, and Huber. I have no amendments.
Absence, any amendments?
President, absence, any amendments? I move and ask consent that Resolution Number 8 be considered.
Senator Cotillo moves and asks unanimous consent that House Joint Resolution Number 8 be advanced from second to third reading, placed before you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us House Joint Resolution Number 8.
House Joint Resolution Number 8 relating to the construction of a seawall at Unalakleet.
Is further discussion? Ready to vote? The question is, shall House Current Resolution Number 8 pass the Senate concurrent resolution 18? Every senator voted, secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
The roll shows 17 yeas, no nays, 2 absent, 1 excused.
So House Joint Resolution Number 8 passed the Senate. We have before us in second reading House Joint Resolution 27.
House Joint Resolution Number 27 by Representatives Cotton and Bradley relating to the cost of living allowance for federal employees in Alaska. The State Affairs Committee has had this resolution under consideration and the committee recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred by Senators Miller, Meeland, and Coletta. I have no amendments.
President, I have no amendments. I'm going to ask for unanimous consent. House Joint Resolution 27 be considered and goes past third reading.
Senator Petula moves and asks unanimous consent that House Joint Resolution Number 27 be advanced from second to third reading, placed before you on final passage. Without objection. Third reading, House Joint Resolution Number 27.
House Joint Resolution Number 27 relating to the cost of living allowance for federal employees in Alaska.
Discussion? Ready to vote? The question is, shall House Joint Resolution Number 27 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Has every senator voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
The roll shows 17 yeas, no nays, 2 absent, 1 excused.
So House Joint Resolution number 27. Senator Ziegler? Senator Standard E. Senator Cthulhu moves and asks unanimous consent. The Senate stand in recess for 5 minutes without objection. Senate will come to order.
I think I'll go for you.
I have before us in second reading House Bill 1. Senator second. House Bill 129. Senator second.
Mr. President, I would vote that we replace amendment number two with the new amendment.
Senator Sackett, Senate Bill 131 had been placed at the bottom of the calendar. We have before us House Bill 129. Even though that amendment might fit in that bill. As well.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 129 by the Judiciary Committee entitled An Act Limiting Smoking in Public Places and Vehicles. This bill was returned to rules from the calendar. The Rules Committee report recommends it be replaced with Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 129 amended rules. The report was signed by Senator Rader, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Curtula, Ray, and Croft.
I believe every member has a copy on their desk. Is there objection? Senator Miller moves and asks unanimous consent for the adoption of the Rules Committee substitute. Senator Huber objects. Senator Ray, you have the floor.
Speaking for the Rules Committee, Mr. President, the amendment is exactly the same language as the Senate some weeks ago. It's exactly the same.
Senator Huber?
Yes, Mr. President. My objection is simple. It takes out Section 3, which is dealing with public places, and it leaves it in schools that it's prevented. As far as I'm concerned, that's the bill.
Further discussion?
Question.
Ready to vote? The question is, shall the Rules Committee substitute be adopted? As many as favor, say aye.
Aye.
Many as opposed, no.
No.
The ayes have it. substitutes adopted. Are there further amendments?
I have to read it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Senate Committee Substitute, for Committee Substitute for House Bill 129 Rules entitled An Act Limiting Smoking in Public Places and Vehicles.
Senator, are there any amendments?
I have none.
Senator Cotulla.
Mr. President, no further amendments. I'm going to ask the House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 129 to the City Girls Pass Third Reading, please, final passage.
Senator Cotulla moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate House Bill 129 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on final passage. Without objection. House Bill 129.
Senate Committee Substitute, for Committee Substitute for House Bill 129 Rules entitled An Act Limiting Smoking in Public Places and Vehicles.
What? Discussion? You ready to vote? The question is, shall House Bill 129 pass the Senate? Senator Mercedes vote. Has every senator voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
The roll shows 13 yeas, 5 nays, 1 absent, 1 excused.
So House Bill 129. We have before us in second reading House Bill 234.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 234 by the Finance Committee entitled An Act Making a Special Appropriation to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee for a Study of the Feasibility of a Marine Maintenance Facility in Alaska and Providing for an Effective Date. The State Affairs Committee considered this bill and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Miller and Coletta. The Finance Committee considered this bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Ray, Chairman, signed do pass. Senator Sack and Senator Rader signed do pass. Senators Sackett, Chance, Homan, and Poland had no recommendation. I have no amendments.
Senator Cotulla.
President, absence pending for the amendments, I'm going to ask the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 234 be considered gross master reading place final passage.
Senator Cotulla moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 234 be advanced from second to third reading, placed before you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading House Bill 234.
Committee Substitute for House Bill 234 entitled An Act Making a Special Appropriation to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee for a Study of the Feasibility of a Marine Maintenance Facility in Alaska and Providing for an Effective Date.
Senator Wright.
There is a fiscal bill on this bill, and that fiscal bill says $50,000 for a feasibility study, and with the increased cost estimated at $400,000, if possible, it would be in a geo bond form. And that would come up for a board of the people, but as for this specific, $50,000. And what it does is put it in the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee for supervisory controls, and there is quite a derogatory report from the agency itself. And
Senator Cotulla.
Mr. President, what would be a characterization of the derogatory report? Just a quick summary.
Senator Wright?
Mr. President, what it comes down to is those people who are now eating the cheese don't want any more rats to get in on the roof. In fact, what they're saying is that they have a lock on it in Seattle, and that's where they want to continue because of the unions, et cetera, that have these positions, and they are highly complicated and skilled jobs and duties, and they want, and they're used to their life cycle, so many weeks in Seattle with the wife and kids and pay, and a lot of these things being that they sometimes run through the months on the overhaul, and such they don't want to change that lifestyle, and that would be getting the derogatory remark. March 18th.
Senator Capilla.
Mr. President, unfortunately for Alaska, we've never seen the time that we do anything cheaper here than we do out there. It's a laudable study, I'm sure. I don't think it's going to net in moving the construction maintenance facility to Alaska. I hope it does. I just wonder, though, if the functions of, and I realize that this is ground which is probably being silly on my part to question, but, you know, I budget audit. I can understand that being over under the budget function of the audit committee study so far as checking fiscal implications, perhaps monitoring the study is well done. The committee is active then, but generally speaking, to have the whole program under budget and audit is a first, I think, just about a first. Usually these studies are done by legislative council, perhaps with in the past no reluctance on my part to mention this, but they're the agency usually does the studying, does the work in regard to any new facility or in regard to any new program in the state. And audit's going to take it on. They probably have the political strength to do so, but I kind of regret the fact that they don't confine themselves to the programs now before them rather than take upon themselves a whole new program, a whole new area, a whole new purview.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, as the Vice Chairman of the Legislative Budget Audit Committee, I think it's proper for me to answer. The Legislative Council normally is the interim committee to handle this. However, they are in the process now of going through any number of studies, restaffing perhaps. I don't know what they're going to do, but apparently they have some very ambitious ideas, and the majority of their time is going to be taken up within that function. With stuff to the legislative budget and audit, it would be the proper committee to watch this. In other words, we would not spend the money, we would not authorize the expenditure of the money if the report that came in or the project plan that was given to us as far as a feasibility study was even concerned. We would not spend the money unless it was a feasibility study.
Senator Kay.
Mr. President, the late Bob Logan did a lot of study on this for the insurance agency. It was their conclusion that for vessels under 100 gross ton, there was some feasibility in having a yard capable of haul-outs and work, but that for any larger vessels, it was an invitation to bankruptcy. If you're not losing enough money with the Alaska ferry system now, why, here's a good way to lose it a little bit more. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Senator Orsini and Senator.
The bill just says a marine maintenance facility. I suppose that could cover anything from rowboats to a ferry system. I'm not sure what we're talking about. We're talking about a strictly state-run maintenance facility. Are we talking about a maintenance facility only for ferries, or are we talking about maintenance facilities for boats in general? I can't see it from the bill where it is.
Senator Wright.
Thank you. Feasibility is to determine whether it is feasible to have the operation or the overhaul of the facilities, or the biggest or the largest part of vessel down to the smallest. I'm really surprised, my friend, how the cove there, of course I can understand being in a remote area, such as that, he's probably really aware of what's happening in any other places. But we have very, very small vessels that are presently being overhauled in Seattle and down south and the stateside yards, fish and wildlife vessels, etc., that can be very easily overhauled in Alaska at considerably less expense than is being done at this particular time. This is to make that determination. That's what a feasibility report is about. That's what a study is about. I admit that I don't know about the ferries. I would imagine to put up a whole shipyard like Todd, Seattle, Tacoma, what's the other one, to feed us out all the money on Columbia. That was another, in order to put up a shipyard or a haul out facility such as they have, it probably cost in the neighborhood of some $40 million. And we still couldn't get the people to operate it. But that isn't the idea. We have a lot of smaller vessels. And a lot of these vessels could be very easily handled within Alaska and provide Alaska with jobs. We're always talking about Alaska first and Alaska hire. Let's find out. I don't think this is too much money to ask. That is a strict supervisory discretion of the budget monitoring committee. I know that possibly we was to study the weird habits of wolves or something like that, there wouldn't be any question about it. Here's something that might be able to save us some money. So it's foolish in some people's minds.
Further discussion? Senator Katula?
Mr. President, with the monitoring by Senator Ray, and I worked with him on the ferry thing this summer. Although it's his own district, it sure did raise plenty of cane with the way the systems have been mismanaged. He's going to monitor, or have a lot to do with monitoring of finding out whether we indeed are even going to need a feasibility study or need to spend this money. I'm going to reluctantly go along with it.
Further discussion? Ready to vote? The question is, shall House Bill 234 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voting, secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 1 nay, 1 absent, 1 excused.
Senator Katula?
Mr. President, I'm going to ask consent to vote on the bill.
Senator Katula moves and asks unanimous consent to vote on the bill be considered to vote on the effective date. Without objection, then House Bill 234 with an effective date passed the Senate. Bring this back to Senate Bill 131 in second reading. Senator Sackett.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I withdraw Amendment Number 2 and remove for adoption of the replacement.
Senator Sackett moves and asks unanimous consent to withdraw the second portion for the remainder of Amendment Number 2, without objection. Second portion is withdrawn. Further amendments?
I have an Amendment Number 3 by Senator Sackett to page 5, line 3. Delete entire sentence beginning with the commissioner and replace with, the commissioner is empowered to set aside and make null and void only opening of season set by the advisory boards under this section.
Senator Sackett. Senator Sackett moves and asks unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 3. Is there objection? I'm sorry, do you object, Senator Huber?
Yes.
Senator Huber objects. Is there discussion? Senator Sackett.
Mr. President, the same explanation I had before. I just don't believe the commissioner should have the power to overrule the local advisory board's enclosure. But he should have the power to overrule an
But. Senator Huber removes his objection. Is there further objection? Without objection, then, Amendment Number 3 is adopted. Are there further amendments?
Yes, Amendment Number 4 by Senator Sackett to page 2, line 6. Delete he may.
Senator Sackett?
Excuse me, I didn't read it. He may cast tie-making votes. I'm sorry.
Senator Sackett. By way of explanation, I removed that power in the Board of Fish, but I missed it on the Board of Game. And I would now ask unanimous consent.
Senator Sackett asks unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 4. Amendment Number 4 is adopted. Senator Sackett, do you desire to amend the bill further? Senator Katula? Senator Katula moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 131 be advanced from second to third reading, placed before you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us third reading, Senate Bill 131.
Senate Bill number 131 amended, entitled an act relating to the boards of fisheries and game and providing for an effective date.
Is there discussion?
Mr. President, I think most of us are pretty well acquainted with this bill, so I won't beat it to death, but I think it's appropriate to mention this in case a few people don't know it. As a result of the Resources Committee hearings in Kodiak, Anchorage, and Fairbanks, almost unanimous, they were for the two boards. And I think the time has come when we are ready for the two boards. That's a consensus. Also, our major, larger membership, more vociferous sportsmen's associations in the Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau areas, and I suppose pretty much applies to the other areas of the state. I conferred with 7 of the 12 board members that recently convened the single board, and 7 of the 12, and I didn't get to see the others, all concurred with two boards. And one of the things that really convinced some that weren't already convinced, I think, was the fact that we have currently, although our present governor has bent over backwards, I think, to try to balance the board, we presently have 7 and maybe 8, or one sort of a borderline, that are commercial fishermen members, and we have 3 and possibly 4, one is an attorney and they're not quite so sure, 3, maybe 4 that are game members. So we possibly never will be able to balance the board. And so these 7 were very adamant about the fact we do need two boards. There's some that didn't have their minds made up previously. And one of the reasons was simply because they took up fin fish first, shellfish, and then they began to discuss sports fish and got into a little game, and most of the commercial fishermen departed, and they lost the quorum, and they've got to convene again in December. They're going to try to do it all in one meeting. As the regulation currently says, one meeting or more if necessary. To save money, they will try to do it in one. They weren't able to do that. One way we might prevent that to some degree is maybe move the meeting back a little bit so the commercial fishermen wouldn't have to leave. But we had an attorney that had to leave too. I understand they had a court case. So that's a reason. This has been the history for as long as I can remember, and I've attended the last 4 board meetings annually, and they've been top-heavy with commercial fishing. And I don't think the commercial fishing business has improved too much, and I know the game business has deteriorated immensely. The more common complaints are no balance of the board, long drawn-out meetings resulting in unnecessary cost, inefficiency, confusion, frustration, and even irritability of some board members and the public attendees. Lack of efficiency, wildlife management has been worse than poor, and with one board, it couldn't be, with two boards, it couldn't be any worse. And several states that we are aware of, and we hadn't canvassed all of them, do have two boards, and they seem to be working fine. One of them, they may switch back, I understand. I think that's Washington or Oregon. But this is Alaska, and it's different. I'd be glad to answer any questions if anyone has any. I strongly urge the passage of this bill, because I think it's desired by most of the people who are interested.
Senator Wright?
Mr. President, I want to thank Senator Bradley, and I want to commend him. And he appears that he is well conversant and very knowledgeable. And for that reason, I wonder if he could give the body a rundown as to what the agency thought. And of course, it's brief, but not really that brief. I would like to have more or less a thorough understanding of what the department is.
Mr. President, in answer to Senator Ray's question, the Department of Fish and Game was not in favor of it, but I don't think they were as strong as they used to be. I think those who are acquainted with past years can verify this. They weren't adamant about the fact that we should have one board. As you know, the governor favored, and it was a campaign announcement, that we have a Section 26 board with 7 members only. Well, the hearings, I think, shot that down without saying any more, unanimously. I don't think anyone, and I think the members of the resources board here can verify that, that I don't think anybody is in favor. If that answers your question satisfactorily.
Senator Couture?
Doesn't answer a few questions I've got. Jurisdictional problems always concern me in this regard. Where do you come to a conclusion, say, on mammals? Does the Board of Fishery now handle sport mammals that are seafaring? Do they handle, they now decide they're going to have hair seal as an exotic hunt? Everybody wants a hair seal head on their mantle. Who is going to be responsible for administration of that if it becomes a sport item? I worry about jurisdictional disputes. Who is going to be responsible in these dovetail areas for administration programs? I, to some extent, agree with you that the Fish and Game Board hasn't come properly to the task of solving the management of the upland game animal. But this whole jurisdictional area bothers me when we split up in two. It's the same problem we got now. We're trying to solve the Department of Transportation by the reverse method. That's combining two areas that have jurisdictional problems, planning problems, and interrelated functions. We're approaching the two areas with different philosophies, and it bothers me somewhat. Anyway, that's jurisdictional is my problem.
Senator Bradley?
Mr. President, in answer to Senator Katoomba's question, there is an arrangement for joint board meetings, if that will resolve any of it. And there has been some question as to our marine mammals, such as you mentioned, the hair seals, walrus, and so on, which has been suggested that they come under the fishery, sport fishing, commercial fishing. Now, some states do have, but not very many have been in favor of putting sport fishing and game together and commercial fishermen separate. However, I think it is Oregon or Washington State, somebody who was mentioned in the Resources Committee a testimony, has this, but I believe they're changing back, as I recall, the sport fishing back with the commercial fishing, but they did have it with game. Don't think, in my opinion, that you can separate fish, or we may try it someday, but I think it's certainly worth a try to try the game one board, fish was another board at present. That's what most people seem to think.
Senator Poland?
Mr. President, I just like to remind the majority leader that if we start having exotic hair seal hunts up here, we're all going to end up in the jug because the federal Sea Mammal Act takes care of that.
Senator Kasut? Senator Stanley. Senator, come to order. Senator Huber?
Mr. President, I note the absence of one of our members. Both the moose population and the fish in the center of the place. So I move and ask unanimous consent to go over time consideration of this bill and for money.
Senator Huber moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 131 be held until Monday's calendar. Senator Sackett objects. There's Senator Tilliott.
We got another complete explanation
there.
No.
Senator
Sagan? Mr. President, my motion will cause us to talk even longer. We have slaughtered the motion.
Senator Huber withdraws his motion. Is there further discussion? Senator Cotilla?
Well, the chairman, along with Senator Bradley, the chairman of the Resources Committee, for whom I have a high regard, has stated that all the hearings are as has been stated, the public is concerned. I know the rest of them in the game area. I'm not sure this is any solution. We may be creating more problems when we start, but I'll reluctantly go along with it because of recommendations of that committee.
Further discussion, Senator Miller?
Although I intend to vote for the bill today, there could be made the only thing worse than one board fishing game or two boards.
Senator Wright?
There is a basic, I'm going to vote for the bill, but there is a basic flaw, and I think that perhaps the people
people could tell them over there in the house. It's my understanding that in jurisdictional disputes such as the well-known Beaver Dam, that they meet together in a joint session. Then you got 7-7 is 14. So there really isn't any tiebreaker. And at that time, then perhaps the commissioner should be the tiebreaker. So you do have a basic flaw in it that possibly could be corrected. I'll vote for it. Just get it out of
there. Senator
Hubert? Mr. President, I too am going to favor the bill. However, I thought I should share with the body the remarks of the President talked very recently, Fish and Game Board, who said that the bill's major defense is that it does not protect the interior people's interest in the fishery. And he is enough afraid of this that if he is given his choice, he would sooner serve on the fish board than the game board. Something to think about, at least. I will reconsider the bill for the fiscal purpose of passing them.
Further discussion? You ready to vote? The question is, shall Senate Bill 131 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 1 nay, 1 absent, 1 excused.
Senator Cotillo.
President, I move and ask now to consent to the roll call bill to the Senate will effect the date clause.
Senator Cotillo moves and asks unanimous consent to vote on the bill be considered to vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, then Senate Bill 131. Date has passed the Senate. That concludes the date of calendar. Senator Huber. Senator Huber's notice of reconsideration of Senate Bill 131 and House Bill 129 will be noted in the journal. Brings us down to unfinished business. Anticipate that the House will not concur or will not recede from its amendments to Senate Bill 290. And since that is a matter that we need to conclude promptly, I go ahead and appoint a free conference committee at this time. Senator Cotillo, Chairman, Senator Rohde, Senator Miller. Further unfinished business? Senator Cotillo?
I rise to acknowledge unfinished business. Mr. President, I noted and I hope it's taken in the trust to which it's meant, this moment of levity. The Republican bills are not passing the legislature this year. I noticed that in the press. Now I notice that Senator Bradley puts in a major piece of legislation that's come before us and has been adopted by this body. But Senator Tillion is in opposition to it. So I suspect all the time the reason that the Republican bills aren't having too good reception this way because Senator Tillion, he's the obstructionist that's causing all this problem.
Senator Tillion?
Seeing as how my name is being taken in vain here, I'd like to point out that while Republican bills aren't having a very good record of passage in the legislature this year, neither are Democrats.
Further unfinished business? Special orders? Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused and follow the Senate for Friday on the Anchorage on personal business.
Senator Rohde moves and asks unanimous consent that he be excused from the call of the Senate on Friday, May 2nd. Without objection. Further special orders? Announcement of committee meeting. Senator Pola.
Resources will meet at 1:30 today, and the bills that will be taken up as much as time allows are operating fishing gear, House Bill 241, House Bill 141, Keynes Park, House Bill 369, subsistence hunting, big substitute for House Bill 159, salvaging of meat, and Senate concurrent resolution number 44, the sliding gear scale.
Senator Wright?
Finance Committee will be at 1:30.
Further announcement of committee meeting? Senator Miller?
President, I would revert to special order.
Without objection, we'll revert to special order. Senator Miller, you request the floor?
I do.
Without objection, we have a question.
President, we're going to let it pass after talking to you privately in the hallway, and that's in reference to the article which Senator Chulaw referred regarding the treatment of legislation by some minority members of the legislature. And I just wanted you to know that the only reason I and some of the other Republican members did not respond to it here on the floor today is not because we agreed with the article, but because it's too silly to bother.
Senator Ray?
Sorry, just really from the floor, just have the same topic, just a couple of words first.
Without objection, you have the floor.
There are some, anybody that has it in the intelligence as far as understanding the legislative process, a lot of those so-called Democratic bills that are being passed are really Republican bills and Democrats closed.
Further special orders, announcement of committee meeting? Senator Cotillo?
President, there's no further action for this body. No committee meeting announcements.
Mr. President, the Community Regional Affairs Committee will be meeting at 3 o'clock today.
Further announcement of committee meeting? Senator Cotillo?
Congress will have a brief meeting on some tax bills at 2:15. President, I'm moving out. Oh, incidentally, I hope those are Republican introduced bills. President, I'm moving to ask unanimous consent to the body adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Senator Cotillo moves and asks unanimous consent. The Senate stand in adjournment until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Without objection, we're adjourned.